So Paul tells us that it is in God that we live, we move, and we exist. Therefore, we're never alone. Jesus taught his disciples this when he said he would never leave us as orphans, that he would come back to us. But in the meantime, God would send us the Spirit of Truth to be our constant companion. So when all seems lost, or when we feel surrounded by fear or lonely in our isolation, or we don't even know if this is the 83rd day of Marchal, when all seems out of our hands, God knows and will not leave us there to flounder all on our own. But sometimes we have to let our neighbors know our situation so that we can come alongside each other and be Christ's hands and feet for one another. I know I've said this before, but this is something that I need to be reminded of, that it's okay to ask for help, and that allows the other person to serve you, to show you God's love through their actions and their hearts. But I've also been reflecting on these scripture passages within the context of communion. You see, I've had some interesting online conversations about virtual communion with many of my colleagues, and their ideas have run the full gamut about whether or not we should be having communion while we are separated, if virtual communion is a real thing or should be celebrated. And at one end of the spectrum are friends who come from a heartfelt belief that communion is to be done only when the body of Christ is gathered together in person, that we should be honoring the fact that we are separated by saving the sacrament for when we can be together again. They would say, how much sweeter the taste, how much more powerful the experience. At the other end of the spectrum lie people who never questioned that God could be present over internet lines, connecting our spirits in a virtual space, that this means of grace, which is a Wesleyan phrase for basically saying a method for experiencing God, that this means of grace produces just that, an opportunity to experience God in a new and mysterious way. Well, as is typical for me, I found myself waffling between both options because I agree with so much that both of the groups have to offer. And it's really a spectrum, right? There's so many of us, we fall all along those lines. Our bishop's early adamancy for not celebrating communion during self-isolation and his reminder of the Love Feast liturgy that we have rituals to help remind us of these meals and Jesus' teachings, those satisfied my desire to offer us some kind of reminder of God's love for us through food, right? Much of our lives is centered around food in healthy and unhealthy ways. And Jesus knew that, and he taught us over and over again using food itself, or while at dinner parties, or using metaphors of food, right? He talks about being salt and yeast, right? Being the bread of life. So when Bishop Devadar recently shared his humbling experience of reimagining what communion could mean during such times of prolonged separation, my waffling also subsided, and I immediately went about figuring out how we could have communion together while remaining physically apart. Well, another colleague shared with me and others a story. She had talked to her son, I think he's about 12, and they had virtual communion with their church, and she asked him how it felt and if he thought that that was real communion. And he basically said, well, We remembered Jesus. We were all together, remembering together, eating and drinking together. That felt like communion to me. Indeed, out of the mouths of babes, right? If it's true that in God we live, move, and exist, you might remember this phrase as being, in God we live, move, and have our being. And if Jesus was telling us the truth, that God has sent us a companion who will be with us forever, then surely God is in this place and in your place and in every place where any person is remembering Jesus and eating and drinking and worshiping with their community in person or virtually. Communion makes this idea that our very existence is in God a reality. As our minds are refreshed by the fruit of the vine, our muscles are quickened by the bread of life, and our souls are reminded of their deep source of spiritual strength through this sign of the depth of God's love. So today I'm not going to give you a long sermon. Instead, we're going to spend our time in song, in prayer, and in communion with God and with one another. And so we prepare our hearts for this sacrament, this holy mystery, by singing, Fill My Cup, Lord.